Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back today with our guest this week, Leanne Garfias, and we're having a great conversation. We're talking about her new book. It's called Everything You Need to Know About Homeschooling, a comprehensive, easy-to-use guide for the journey from early learning through graduation. And I was saying, when I got this book, I expected it to be, you know, just about a half inch, and it is not. It is quite a book. It is full of all things you could ever need to know about homeschooling. But she in the process of talking about homeschooling in the book, she again points us moms and teaches us moms how to point our kids to Jesus. And so I love that about this book. It is a fantastic resource. It's one that I think every new homeschool mom for sure would benefit from, but also those of us who are veteran homeschool moms and have been doing this for a little while can benefit from this as well. As I flip through it, I've been so blessed by just her wisdom and knowledge that she exhibits in this book. It's a great, great resource. So in the last episode, we talked about how to get started with homeschooling, how, you know, of course, knowing your why, and then how to start strong. And now I want to talk about, I kind of want to go through the process of schooling our kids from the early years through graduation, because I know that those who listen to us have kids in a wide spectrum. Many of our listeners haven't even started homeschooling. I love listening, or I love hearing from moms and dads who they haven't even begun their homeschool journey. You know, maybe they have a baby or, you know, a one-year-old or a two-year-old, and they're like, "We haven't started homeschooling, but we know we're going to." And, you know, oftentimes you'll hear homeschool experts say, "Well, you started homeschooling at birth because you're always teaching them something," which is true. But then there's also kind of the formality of schooling. And so let's kind of start with those early years and just kind of open up what does it look like when you're teaching, you know, maybe a preschooler or kindergartner, and just getting them off to a really good start.
I did it all wrong with my first couple of kids.
So don't, I love to hear you say that.
Hey, don't do as I did. I started off with the huge boxed curriculum. I put the teacher posters on the walls and bought all the manipulatives, and we sat down after breakfast and tore out the workbook pages. And there were a lot of good things about it because it got us started homeschooling. And like I told you in our last episode, I really learned to enjoy those light bulb moments that we had together. But at the same time, my friend who had so much more homeschool experience with her large family kept saying, "You know, you don't need all that stuff, Leanne. You know, he doesn't need all that work, Leanne." And I just thought, she's so lazy. She doesn't know what a good, rigorous education is all about. But then after I gained more children, by necessity, I had to pay her back, because you have 3 or 4 kids. You just don't have the bandwidth to micromanage the teaching and to do all the bells and whistles with every single one. So as I began paring things back little by little and drilling down to the essentials, then I realized, you know what? My children are learning more the less I do. My homeschool days are so much more enjoyable the less busy work I have involved. So that kind of led me to really look at, what am I doing here with my little kids? Do they really need this handwriting worksheet? No, they're going to learn how to write anyway by the time they graduate. Don't have to worry about that. Do my kids really need this math worksheet? Well, no, because it's more, he understands that if I give him four cookies and then I turn around and eat two of them, that he only has two left. I don't need to write that down on a piece of paper. He already knows it. So as I started actually paying attention to my child, it really changed how I taught early learning. And now I think my fourth child finally got a good education. I finally figured it out by then. So that's what I always tell new moms. Don't go buy the curriculum. Read to your early learner. Look at picture books. Take them to the art museum. Take them to the zoo. Play outside in the dirt. Or better yet, give him a bucket and a shovel and let him play outside in the dirt and you drink coffee. But color or do finger paints. Just have normal life with them and enjoy the world together. That's what really helps grow that young curiosity. And research has shown this free time or learning hands-on and having these sensory experiences when they're really young does so much to build brain function, so much more than if they sit down and practice handwriting and practice writing math facts. So they'll learn more the less time we keep them at the table.
Yeah.
So as I started to realize that, I really started to see my children's quote unquote performance improve, but they started to understand what I was talking about or be able to participate in older conversations with knowledge and understanding about what they were talking about. But also they were enjoying, they wanted to know more about something. So they were looking for books about it at the library, or they wanted to know more about the painting. So they were going up to the docent and asking questions. They had this desire. My teenager wrote a book for other teenagers called You Don't Really Hate Homeschooling. This is one of the things she mentioned in there is the reason you hate studying is because someone told you you have to. And it's that struck me. That's the same thing with little kids. They don't like homeschooling if we tell them this is something you have to sit down and do.
Yeah.
But if instead it's a treat to look at library books and it's a treat to go to the zoo, then they love learning and they'll learn so much. And that's all that early learning is about. We can get into math facts and spelling words and even learning the fundamentals of reading. We can get into that later when they're more what we would call school age. But when they're young, just exciting that love of learning, that's the most important thing we can do.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's teaching our kids to love learning. And you know, I'm with you in that. I feel like with my kids, I didn't figure that out until, you know, just within the last few years, because I also bought into that idea that, and you know, I know you're not saying, you know, it, don't ever put anything up on your wall, don't ever buy curriculum. But those early years, I remember going I guess it was Kinko's at the time. Now it's, I think, FedEx store or whatever. I don't even know if Kinko's is still around. But I remember going because I had to laminate. I didn't have a laminator yet. And I had to laminate the days of the week and the months of the year. And I had to put them up on my wall. Like I felt like if I didn't do that, I was not going to be a good homeschool mom. I was just screwing it up. And in my mind, I was picturing the traditional school classroom and thinking that's what I had to create at home in order to be a successful homeschool mom. And, you know, I didn't know at the time. And so it's not that it's wrong to do those things, you know, and some moms I know love that. Like they actually find great pleasure and joy in putting the posters up on the boards and, you know, doing the months and the days. And that's fun. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you don't have to do those things in order to homeschool successfully in the early years. And I really do appreciate you talking about how them being out and exploring, you know, digging in the dirt, playing on the playground, playing in the backyard, swinging on the swings, balancing on a log, going to the zoo, going to museums, going to the park, doing those things, interacting with other people socially, that in those early years is so much more beneficial to them than sitting down and learning how to write your letters. I remember when Lacey, my youngest, she was probably 3 or 4. I can't remember exactly. She was pretty little. And Valentine's Day came around. And Brooklyn, my older daughter, was doing Valentine's Day cards for her friends. And so my little one wanted to do them as well. And I had never taught her how to write her name. And I turned around and she's writing her name on her Valentine cards like her sister was. And I was like, how did you learn to write your name? Like, I didn't teach you how to write your name. I had never sat down. I had written it for her lots of times, but she just, by looking at the letters and what they, you know, how they're shaped, she learned how to write her name. But I never had to sit down and teach her formally, this is how you write Lacey. And so they just learned so naturally. It's how God created their brains to function. So let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
What we do at IEW is break through the noise of the grammar and the writing prompts, and we say, this is what you do, step by step. And I've witnessed it over and over again, both watching Andrew teach and hearing from parents, this is the best writing program. We've made it so easy and made it really affordable. So any mom can teach writing to their children using our course, and we guarantee it.
For more information, visit IEW.com. That's IEW.com. We are back with Leanne. And, you know, I love remembering back to those early years. And I don't have any regrets about getting it wrong. I don't have any regrets about the way we did homeschooling back then. But I'm thankful that now we've learned that you don't need to have all those things, especially in the early years. You don't have to have a schoolroom that looks like a traditional classroom. And so in those early years, as we move them into the more academic years that are a little bit more structured, how do you find is the easiest way to kind of transition then from those really itty bitty years into that kind of next phase of learning without causing our kids to hate education?
I think the hallmark of moving from early learning into the elementary or more academic years is reading. And there's a lot of worry about that because, for one thing, it can seem difficult to teach our child how to read. It's some kind of mysterious voodoo that has to happen. Right. And then there's also a worry about when our child is going to learn to read or if our child is going to have a reading disability. So it's important, though, for us to remember that reading can happen anytime between ages 4 and 10, mm-hmm. and that's completely normal, even if they wait until later. And research has shown as well that learning how to read when you're 4 or 5 doesn't ensure better academic success than if the child waits until they're 8 or 9 or 10 to read independently. So it's easy for us to become nervous if our neighbor's child or all the Sunday school children are reading well and our child doesn't even know the letters of the alphabet very well. But that's not something to worry about. Instead, if we slowly build a love of literature, a love mm-hmm. of listening to stories, a love of looking at picture books, this helps so much to build vocabulary, to build awareness of what makes a good story, how sentences are structured, how paragraphs work together. They learn a lot just by listening that we don't even realize. And then as we slowly learn, as we slowly teach them how to read, this can take a short amount of time. Like one of my children learned how to read probably in 1 week, and she was, I want to say, 4 years old. It was just something mentally obvious to her,
yeah,
how letters work, and she just took off as soon as I told her how you put them together in words. Everything else was obvious to her. And then I had another son who couldn't learn the letters of the alphabet if it saved his soul. Yeah. He could not remember the letter and its sound from day to day. If I stuck with the same one over and over again, it was like something new. It was Groundhog Day with the alphabet every yeah. single day. So, but that didn't make him any less smart than any of the other children. It was just the way his learning is programmed. So letting them wait to read mm-hmm. and letting them learn to read on their own time, just like they learned how to walk when they were good and ready, they learned how to speak when they were good and ready. And that's something that's important to remember. Every child learns how to speak a different way. Mm-hmm. Some of them are speaking fluently when they're one. Some of them don't like to talk and seem very quiet until they're two or three. Some of them speak baby talk. Some of them all of a sudden are speaking complete sentences. It's different for every child. And if you have more than one child in your family, you know this progress just seems completely different for each one of them. Reading is exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. Some children really struggle with their phonics. Other children can look at a word and recognize it instantly, and they never, and phonics confuses them. Some of them take a really long time to learn short words, then longer words, then putting words together. And others, they just get it right away and take off. And some of them, you know, just like some aren't interested in talking until later, some aren't interested in reading until they're 8 or 9 or 10, and that's fine. So I strongly recommend to parents not to worry about academics, sitting at the table with a pencil, academics that you think about until your child is reading. And that whatever age that is. Now, if you get really nervous and they're 7 or 8 and seem to be really struggling with what you think are the basics of sounds and putting phonetics together, then sure, get them evaluated, get someone else involved, see if there's anything there that they need extra support with. But if not, don't worry about it. Your child is brilliant. You know, like we keep saying, and it's the truth, Albert Einstein didn't learn until he was 10, and he's literally Einstein.
Yeah, right.
So don't worry about when it is, and just wait until your child is reading well. Then your child will be ready to write, not just write letters, but then to do math on paper, because that's another form of reading. You're just doing it with a different code. So just wait until then and take your time. He has all of his teenage years to do everything over again. Everything you learn in elementary school, you just learn over and over and over and over again until you're in sixth grade. And then in sixth grade, you learn it all for the last time. No, you just like drill all that knowledge into you. And then you start really using it in middle school and then for real in high school. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if your child does a grammar workbook in second and third and fourth grade. He's going to do it all again in sixth grade anyway.
Right.
So that's another reason we don't have to worry about what's going on in elementary school. We have a good 6 years if our child is reading at age 6. We have a good 6 years to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. So we can really relax and just enjoy it and go at our child's own pace.
Yeah, I think that takes so much pressure off of the parent feeling like they have to be at this certain level of reading and understanding and writing and all the things. And I think with every child that we have, every human across the world, we can look at them and we can find the things that, you know, that we can find their weaknesses and say, oh, this is really a big problem. You know, they're not speaking properly. You know, we were at dinner with some friends last night, and one of their daughters, she's 6 and she can't pronounce her R's correctly. And I said, when Lacey was little, she couldn't pronounce her R's either. Like she really had a hard, she couldn't pronounce them at all. So her sister Brooklyn was Brooklyn, you know, she couldn't say Brooklyn. And it was frustrating for her because she would try to tell me words sometimes. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're trying to say. And so my best friend's mom is a speech therapist. So we did a Zoom call with her, and she said, you know, she kind of evaluated her, and this was years ago. She evaluated her, over Zoom. And she said, she's good. She said this was the most bizarre thing. She said by 7.5, she should have her R's. And she said, if by 7.5, she doesn't, well, maybe start considering some kind of speech therapy. If by, you know, 8 or 9 or 10, she still doesn't, then consider some speech therapy. But she said, she's fine. And sure enough, I mean, it was 7.5 almost to the day. It was the most bizarre thing. When she turned 7.5, she got her R's. But it was easy for me as her mom to say, oh man, she can't pronounce her R's, and she's going to go through all of life, you know, not able to say her own sister's name. I mean, I just like it ate at me. And I remember, you know, this speech therapist, she said, just relax. Don't worry about it. She's going to get it. She's going to find it. She'll get her R's. Even if you need to bring in some therapy to help her get them, she'll get them. And we put so much pressure on ourselves as moms to have our kids meet every expectation that we have academically, physically, you know, even spiritually. And oftentimes we need to just relax, calm down, and let them develop as the Lord has created them to develop. Sometimes the struggles that we go through, not because I enjoy struggles in my life, but because talking to moms like yourself, Leanne, it makes me realize like, okay, I'm good. This is real life. We all have struggles that we deal with. We all are insecure in our ability to teach something, you know. Not every mom feels like she can teach everything perfectly. And oftentimes, you know, we often feel like we can teach something well or several things well, but not everything well. And that's hard. That's a hard place to be as a mom, because especially when you have multiple kids, the weight of their education is all on you. But that's where we get to, you know, just let go and trust the Lord to walk us through this and to be obedient to what He's called us to do and allow Him to equip us to do what He's called us to. So we were talking about in the first part of this episode, how to kind of transition from those early years into the more academic years. You talked about reading, which I love. How, let's now transition from kind of that reading phase, because I heard it once said that, and I don't know if this is perfectly true, but from grades, you know, kindergarten through third grade, kids are learning to read. And from fourth grade on, they're reading to learn. And so those first few years really is them learning how to read. And then we transition to reading to learn, though we don't want to just stick a book in front of them and say, here you go, kid, learn it all. So how do you transition? Let's talk about that transition from those early elementary years into the later elementary years.
What you were saying earlier, Yvette, about them reading to learn now is so important. We can be using this time to continue building on that love of learning we've been working on during their early years and moving into a love of learning by finding out some information for themselves. So this is a great time when they have an interest in science to really, you know, stop on that topic and say, why don't we go find some more resources on it? And again, they don't realize we're encouraging them to read, but we're getting them all those books on sharks, or we're finding some of those audio books about fairy tales or about Vikings or whatever it is that they're interested in. And so they're learning research skills and they don't realize it. They're learning how to listen to more information. They're learning how to read. They're learning how maybe to look up information on the internet and what are good places to find information. They're learning a lot of research skills without even trying. And they're going to use those obviously throughout middle school and high school. And they're also learning how to study. They're learning how to pay attention to the bold-faced words or to the rules in their book. They're learning how to do their homework, to be able to read directions and follow them. They're learning how to look for the answers themselves in textbooks. So little by little, especially at the end of elementary, they can start learning some independent study skills. And they're doing that while they're learning, you know, they're important multiplication and division principles, while they're learning nouns and verbs and how to write a really good sentence, while they're learning these foundational subjects and principles, they're also learning how to learn. And that's really key for the end of elementary. You're going to have a really strong finish to your elementary years if your student has a good foundational understanding of math. She knows her math facts, even if she has to think about them for a minute. She knows her math facts and she knows how to apply them to daily life. She knows how to use math materials like a calculator, a ruler, how to graph something, simple things like that. She knows her basic parts of speech. She might not always get them right, but she understands what they are and how to basically find them in a sentence. She knows how to write a good sentence or two, maybe even a paragraph. She knows how to find information in a book. She knows how, or if she's not a strong reader, at least where it is she should find the information and can put forth effort to find it herself. And probably she knows how to read directions and try to do a new lesson herself before she asks for help. Now, she's not going to be completely independent, but she has a lot of foundational understanding. And then she's maybe starting to go through puberty. She's starting to think about how these concepts all go together. She's starting to ask more critical questions of her parents. And as all of this starts to grow, then you'll see that she's ready to move into the middle school age. So you're not teaching elementary just to get to age 12. You're teaching to help build these foundations of learning and foundational concepts of each of her subjects, so she's well prepared to go on to middle school and high school.
Yeah. I want to continue talking about this. We are out of time for this episode, but I want to come back tomorrow and continue talking about how we can teach our kids to learn. And one of those tricks is, of course, figuring out our teaching style and figuring out their learning style. So we will continue with this conversation. Leanne, thank you for joining me again today. People can find out more about you where?
At lagarfias.com. It's lagarfias.com. And you can contact me personally there or contact me in my Facebook group, Homeschool Made Easy.
Okay, sounds great. We'll link those in the show notes as well. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow. Thank you, Leanne. We'll see you back here tomorrow as well. Bye-bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.